One of the first things I did after seeing the depressing election news this morning was check to see which of my Facebook friends like the pages of Conservatives or David Cameron and unfriend them. Life is too short, I thought, to hang out with people who hold abhorrent political views, even if it's just online. This marked a change of heart for me. Usually I try to remain engaged with such people in the hope that I might be able to change their views through debate. Did I do the wrong thing? Should I have kept my Conservative friends? I'm not so sure. My Facebook feed today is full of posts and debates by compassionate, liberal people. The rest of the country isn't. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about two fascinating papers which reveal the true nature, in even more detail than we've already seen it, of left-wing people. That, by the way, was me channeling somebody called Rebecca Roach, who used to be a fellow at the University of Oxford in philosophy and is now a philosopher at Royal Holloway. And that is what she wrote the day after the 2015 general election when the Conservative Party won a majority. As far as she was concerned, people who are liberal, who are left-wing, are compassionate and morally good and kind. And that's what they're motivated by, compassion. Compassion for other people, compassion for the less well-off, compassion for those that suffer, whereas the people that vote Conservative are simply nasty, unpleasant people that have no compassion whatsoever. Now, this is not consistent with the research by, for example, Verhulst et al., which has shown that being left-wing is predicted by being low in agreeableness, that's to say low in altruism and low in empathy, i.e. selfish and low in compassion, and also low in conscientiousness, that is to say low in impulse control and rule following, and high in neuroticism. Emil Kierkegaard looked at this, that is to say mental instability, feeling negative feelings strongly, feelings such as jealousy, which might make you left-wing, anger, the world being an awful place and therefore you feeling that you have low self-esteem and you gaining self-esteem by feeling that you're morally superior and therefore asserting that you're left-wing to assert that you're morally superior. We can see all kinds of ways in which a person that is high in neuroticism, negative feelings, the feelings that the world is unfair and wrong and so on, might be attracted to left-wing politics, to taking control and wanting everybody else to be controlled and wanting everyone to be equal or whatever, because it's just so unfair. Fair that they're not. Now, the research also indicates by Jonathan Haidt and his team that people that are left-wing, there are five moral foundations. People who are right-wing tend to be higher in the group-oriented, in all the foundations, and therefore also in the group-oriented foundations, that is to say, obedience to authority, sanctity and holiness, and being loyal to the in-group, whereas people that are left-wing tend to be low in those and high simply in the, what are called the individualising foundations of going on about equality and thinking equality is important, and harm avoidance. So people that are left-wing are low in group orientation, low in caring for others. They're high in these foundations, and these foundations tend to allow you to be focused on you as an individual and you climbing to the top of the hierarchy, climbing to the top of the group, rather than being focused on the good of the group. They're focused on your good, because if you can believe in such foundations, i.e. be opposed to harm, then that will allow you to not want harm yourself and to get to the top of the group by avoiding harm. And equally, if you believe in everyone should be equal, then that's a thing that makes sense to believe if you're not at the top of the group, and therefore you sort of bring everybody down and you get to the top of the group that way. Now, having those foundations is associated with being left-wing, which is in turn associated with being low in agreeableness, with being an individualist that wants to get to the top. Now, the two papers are this. The first is called Each is Count for One and None More Than the Other, Predictions of Support for Economic Redistribution. And this study by Lynn and Bates took a sample of about 251 people and looked at what the key psychological predictors were of desiring economic redistribution, basically of desiring a situation of relative economic equality in which everyone has roughly the same amount of money. Now, what were the predictors of this? Now, if people like Rebecca Roach were correct in what they're saying, and if they were genuine in what they're saying, the biggest predictor would be compassion. Left-wing people are compassionate, and therefore that motivates them to want to have a society of equality and economic redistribution. Right-wing people are low in compassion, they're selfish, and therefore they just want lots of money for themselves. So what did they find? The biggest predictor of wanting economic redistribution is malicious envy at 0.26. So this means that people that want economic redistribution are angry people motivated by spite, who are envious of those that have more than they do, and therefore they signal that they want economic redistribution. This is entirely consistent with left-wing people being low in agreeableness, meaning that they're selfish and they want what others have and they want what's good for them. And it's entirely consistent with left-wing people being high in neuroticism, that is feeling negative feelings strongly, and therefore they feel malice and anger and envy. And this is what motivates them to be left-wing. They want to be left-wing because they have these negative feelings. They're jealous of other people and they hate other people. And they therefore want other people to have their what they earned taken away so that they can feel that they individually have higher status compared to other people. Malicious envy. The second biggest predictor, 0.21, was instrumental harm. That is to say, being perfectly happy for some people to be hurt and to experience pain and suffering if it permits a greater good. And in their view, the greater good is economic redistribution. Now, this is not at all consistent with being compassionate, is it? This is consistent with the kind of people that would allow those farmers in the Ukraine to starve to death for the greater good, to kill millions of people for the greater good, because they are so focused on this desire for equality, because they feel it's just so unfair and wrong that anybody could have more than, well, let's face it, than them. Not than other people, than them. Because let's not forget, they are motivated by malicious envy. It's not by the interests of other people. Third on the list is self-interest at 0.19. This is again consistent with them having low agreeableness, with them not being very nice people. They note that some people have more than them. They are angry, jealous, furious about this, and they want it themselves. And they realise that economic redistribution, left-wing policies, and signalling left-wing policies, because it signals that you are high in a belief in harm avoidance and high in a belief in equality, and these are things that both right-wing people and left-wing people to a greater extent favour and think are morally good, allow you to get what you want. So it's self-interest. You convince yourself that you're left-wing because it's in your economic interest to do that. And that is consistent with evidence also looked at in various papers, that people at the moment who are left-wing are high in compared to people that are right-wing, are high in Machiavellianism and narcissism. They are power-hungry. Why are they power hungry? Because being left wing, if in the current environment you're neurotic, you're confronted by a world of chaos, and therefore you want to control people and control what they do and make sure everyone cooperates and whatever, rather than have any possibility of uncertainty. And left wing policies could be seen to permit that. And also they're high in narcissism, so they want what's good for them. They want what they want, their own. So they think they deserve high status and they deserve everything. So that's the next thing. Then it was communal fairness, 0.15. So that means they are motivated by a desire, some kind of desire for fairness. So in a way you could argue it's the childlike mind. Again, this fits with neuroticism, perhaps. It's the childlike mind. Oh, it's just so unfair. I hate you. It's so unfair. That is also something that motivates them, 0.15. And finally, compassion at 0.4, not statistically significant. And so in scientific terms, that means left-wing people are not motivated by compassion at all. They simply signal that they are compassionate because, being narcissists, they want people to think that they're great and fantastic. Being Machiavellian, they realise that signalling compassion helps you to reach the top of the hierarchy. wanting a power and so forth, and being neurotic, they realise that signalling compassion helps, and they realise it's in their self-interest to signal compassion. And so that would be consistent with low agreeableness being associated with being left wing. Now, the next paper is called Social Mobility and Political Regimes and Intergenerational Mobility in Hungary, 1949 to 2017. Now, this allows you to see what happens when left-wing regimes come into power. What we would expect, if they are correct, these left-wing people, if they are genuine in their supposed motivations, is that you would have a highly compassionate regime that was highly focused on fairness and equality, and would therefore mean that the regime would strongly promote that. So what that would mean is there would be a very, very high level of social movement, a very, very high level of social mobility, as everybody was the same and pushed into being the same. So the poor would become relatively richer, the rich would become relatively poorer. That is what would happen in a regime that was communist and that was genuinely run by people that believed in compassion and people who believed in equality, genuinely, if they genuinely believed that, rather than simply signalled that they believed it because they were in the middle of society and wanted to use signalling these ideas as a means, in a Machiavellian means of getting to the top. Now, what do we find? Well, the paper looks at upper-class surnames in Hungary. These are surnames that tend to end in Y. It looks at ordinary surnames in Hungary, and it looks at the surnames of the very poor, particularly the Roma in Hungary. And it compares what happens under the Soviet communism between 1949 and 1989, and, sorry, Hungarian communism, and Hungarian capitalism between 1989 and 2017. Now, what we would predict, of course, is that there would be much higher levels of social mobility under communism, poorer people becoming rich, richer people becoming poor. What actually happens? Nothing. The heritability of socioeconomic status is between 0.6 and 0.8 in both regimes. So there's no difference. And by the way, another study by Gregory Clark called As the Sun Also Rises found that the heritability of socioeconomic status based on different status surnames in England between the medieval period and 1950 was 0.7. So between the two. So it makes no difference. Secondly, you find that the people who have high status surnames are just as overrepresented under communism as they are under capitalism. Thirdly, you find that people who have aristocratic surnames, i.e. pre the revolution in Hungary, those people are still massively overrepresented even today. Fourthly, you find that the Roma, the poorest people in Hungary, have very, very low social mobility, much lower social mobility even than 0.6, both under communism and today. The only change that you find is a very rapid change in who constitutes the extreme elite. But in terms of the general elite, and this can be measured by things like members of the Hungarian Academy of Science or Hungarian doctors or even Hungarian prime ministers, it was found that of the Hungarian prime ministers, 29% of them have had a surname that ends in Y, which means they're overrepresented by 15 times the number of the population that has an aristocratic surname that ends in Y. But anyway, all that changed across the period was a rapid change in the extreme elite, in the people running the country. And so that's consistent with the fact that being left-wing has nothing to do with compassion. It has nothing to do with genuinely believing in equality. It has nothing to do with any of these things. It is a means of attaining socioeconomic status for yourself. We have two instincts as humans, an instinct to be part of the group and an instinct to rise to the top of the group. Those who are high in group instincts care about the good of the group and not so much about the good of themselves. Those that are high in individualizing instincts care about the good of themselves and not so much the good of the group. The way that you get to the top of the group is by signaling that you favor things like equality and harm avoidance, these left-wing ideas, signalling that you're compassionate, going on about these individualising values so people think you're a good person, and then you personally and your family get to the top. And that is what happened in communist Hungary. But there was no difference in general. A few families, a few people managed to signal their way to the top, Machiavellian-like, but in general, it didn't make any difference. Communism, capitalism made no difference to the general good of the poor or creating fairness or whatever. Left-wing people, therefore, these studies prove, are not compassionate. They're not motivated by compassion. It's right-wing people who are compassionate. Left-wing people are so low in compassion that it's not even statistically significant. Well, I hope this has been of interest, and if it has, then please do subscribe. It helps most vitally if you do that. Remember, I live stream Mondays and Fridays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. If you would like to help the channel, you can see ways of doing so below. I will see you soon, and goodbye!